Or you can listen along as I read the verses, Luke chapter 15. I didn't check to see if we had any visitors today. I didn't see any, but I might have missed somebody. If you're a visitor here and it's your first time, we have a gift for you, and we'd like to give you a visitor's card. Does anybody like that? Just raise your hand up. Anybody visitors? All right, I didn't see anybody. All right, Luke 15, and I will be at starting at verse 1. We'll read through verse 7. And let's go ahead and stand as we read the Bible. Luke chapter 15. And we'll start at verse 1. I'll read it out to you. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And notice who went and heard Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured. Can I just tell you, without going into it, historically, where God's moving, the religious elite and the establishment Christians who are dead do not follow the movement, and the sinners come to the movement, and they sing Amazing Grace, like the man who just wrote Newton, who was a slave trader and got saved and said, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And that's who came and heard Jesus, and the other ones murmured and sat and watched and tried to find the fault. They murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. But they didn't know they were one of them too. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which is lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. We're going to pray, and then you may be seated. Father, thank you for the word of God. Speak to us. Give us your heart. That's really what this message is to give us the heartbeat of God. And we want your heart. And we pray today you'd speak to us, the Spirit of God, to move in our midst. May some people go from sheep to shepherds. May we go out and get a burden. And may we have a heartbeat for the lost and for the needy and for sinners. Speak to our hearts and help us to care about the lost sheep. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A shepherd had fed his sheep in one area, and then he got done for the day and was going to take him back and take him back to the sheepfold, put him back in their corral and safely have him there. And he had 100 sheep, and as he was heading back, going through the middle of the forest, he just kept on thinking, this number doesn't look right. And it's hard to count sheep. They all look kind of the same. And so he starts counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, and he gets to 99. And he says, wait a minute, there's supposed to be 100. And he counts again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and he gets to 99 again, and he's sure of it this time. And he looks around, and he knows his sheep by name, and he looks around, and finally he says, I'm missing Dolly. Off he goes searching for, not the cloned one, this is a real one, but off he goes looking for Dolly, and he just leaves those sheep in the middle of the wilderness. Boy, he's worried, he's stressed out. Oh man, he's probably been eaten by a wolf or a lion or a bear. Something's probably eaten Dolly, and my sheep's going to be dead because I didn't pay enough attention. I want to find that sheep. She must have wandered off. She knows to stay with the other sheep. She knows to follow me. And boy, he's worried, and he is running and looking and following the entire track they followed and going back and looking and goes back to the field and cannot find Dolly anywhere in the field that they were at. Boy, the other 99 sheep are there in the wilderness. Something could come and devour them, but he's got one that he's worried about. And he looks and looks and looks, and he begins to kind of do a perimeter around. And as he, all of a sudden, as he's walking towards the very bottom of the field and going out in the forest, he hears Dolly making the sheep sounds. Okay, everybody do it. Ready? Thank you. And today we're talking about how dumb sheep are. He hears the sheep sound. And so he wanders, he runs out there and he finds, and there's Dolly sitting there all scared looking. He picks up Dolly, throws Dolly over his shoulders. and he's rejoicing and excited. He's not even thinking about the other 99 sheep. He's thinking about Dolly, who was lost. And he's not thinking about the other 99. He runs back to the other 99. They're all sitting there waiting for him. He puts Dolly down. He kisses Dolly. He's excited. And he is so happy. He's rejoicing. He's thinking, I almost lost one of my sheep. And I'm excited. And boy, he just is smiling. He's jumping around. He loved every one of his sheep. And when one is lost, he was pretty upset. And his heart was broken. And he comes back. And he's very excited because he found his lost sheep. And there's great rejoicing with the lost sheep. The parable here, he's speaking to people. He has a bunch of sinful people, publicans and sinners. These were tax collectors and IRS agents have always been evil. And it's a bunch of sinners. That was a joke if you're a tax collector. And sinners and all kinds of bad people. And these are the people who haven't got caught. These are the prostitutes. These are the people who are selling things illegally and doing things that are bad. And they're all listening to Jesus. And the Pharisees, the religious people, the Sadducees are all sitting back there murmuring about this person is hanging around sinful people. Jesus tells a parable about the 99 sheep that he left in the wilderness. And it's interesting, it didn't say he left them, he didn't take them back to the sheepfold. He was so worried about the one, he left the 99 in the wilderness, it says. That's how worried he was about the one. And he ran and found the one. And he rejoiced greatly when he found the lost sheep. And then he says, that's what heaven's like. Every time someone comes to Christ, every time a sinner repents, he says in verse 7, he says, I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just person, which need no repentance. I want to say a church is not built in pleasing God by getting a big crowd. It's by getting sinners to repent. If a church gets a bunch of transfers and a bunch of godly people to just keep, and by the way, the megachurch movement, if you don't know that, is megachurch movement is built off taking church members from smaller churches and making one great big church with a great program. It's not a lot of people converted. And God says, I am pleased with one church that has one sinner repented. I'm worried about the lost sheep. It says there is joy in heaven. Verse 7. There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. He says, heaven gets happy. Heaven gets thrilled when a lost sheep comes back, when a sinner repents, when an immoral person repents, when a bad person repents. Doesn't matter how bad they are. Bible says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. God can take the worst sinner and make them a saint. He says, anybody, when they repent, when they come to Christ, when they are saved, joy is in heaven. In another spot, it says there's joy in the midst of the angels. Doesn't say in the angels, in the midst of the angels. That's God. He's in the middle of the angels. God himself is jumping for joy over one sinner that repents. He says, I want to find the lost sheep. Heaven is rejoicing. And it's one of the most amazing things that I think in my life, I can change the mood of heaven by winning somebody to Christ, by bringing somebody to God. I can make heaven, I can make my God rejoice because he loves the lost sheep. Next parable he goes into is another lost thing, a lost coin. Either that woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I had lost. Wow. He says, she makes a big fuss. She sweeps her whole house. She turns everything upside down and lifts up the couch and looks in the couch and cushions. And she looks everywhere looking for her lost coin. She's not worried about the coin she has. She lost one. And she's so excited. These must be big coins because she seeks it. And she calls a big party because she found her lost coin. And she calls her friends by. So rejoice with me. I found the lost coin. And what's it say? Verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Notice, when it's lost, you seek it. Same type of story. Lost thing, diligently sought, found, and God rejoices. That's God's pattern. What's the next parable? The lost prodigal son. He wanders away from his parents. He wanders away from his dad. Goes off in a deep sin, with wine, women, and song. And he spends all his money and spends all of his wealth, a huge inheritance. Blows it. Doesn't have any money left. Starts trying to find a job. Ends up working in a pig pen. Trying to eat the pig's food. And he says, what am I doing? My dad would let me be a servant. I'd be better off than this. I'm going back home to my father. And it says his dad sees him coming down the road. And his dad runs and embraces him and throws a huge feast. Kill the fatted calf. Fatted calf is veal? What's fatted calf? Is that what it is? Veal. There we go. Break out the veal. How many like veal? All right. And got the carnivores here. And how many do eat the sheep too? Oh, don't say that. But he says he killed a fatted calf, throw a great big party, have a great feast. My son came back. And what's it say in verse 32? It was meet, it was worthy that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Another lost thing and great rejoicing of the Father because a lost thing is found. You seen a pattern? You seen a pattern here? Jesus is teaching with the people who are Pharisees watching and talking about the sinners hanging around him. He says, God's real happy. The lost things that get found, we seek them out. And when they come back, when they repent, we're pretty happy. There's rejoicing in heaven. Go to the previous chapter, Luke 14. We see another story. Along the same lines, Luke 14, a certain man, verse 16, made a great supper and bade many, and he sent the supper and supper time to them, and they were bidden and said, come, for all things are now ready. And they began with one consent to make excuse. Well, I could preach on that for a while. I love it. I love the excuses people come up with. God says, I don't care about your excuse. You have an excuse to not serve God. You have an excuse to do wrong. You have an excuse to fail. Excuses are nothing. They all, with one extent, began to make excuse. I have, and they're dumb excuses, by the way. They are dumb excuses. Watch these excuses. First one said, I have brought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. That makes sense. Think about it. Hey, man, I went and bought a piece of ground. I need to go see it now. That's not the right way to do it, is it? And by the way, if you already bought it, why do you need to see it during the feast? Can't you see it in a half hour? You already bought it. See, it's a lie. It's making something bigger than it needs to be. It's saying, well, I'm just, you know, I can't come to church on Sunday. I just really had a busy week. I bet you if we were giving away $100 bills on Sunday morning, you didn't have that busy of a week. If we give $1,000 to an attendee, you'd say, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. Because you have an excuse. I can preach on football now that season's over because nobody listens during the season. And, you know, you can have an excuse. And the NCAA tournament and whatever else. I love sports. You can make an excuse why you can't read your Bible. I'm really busy. Oh, good. So you haven't watched any TV today, right? You didn't surf the net? We make excuses. We make excuses. They began to make an excuse. That was free. That wasn't even part of the sermon. and the first saith unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and must needs go and see it. I pray thee have an excuse. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and go to prove them. He's dumb too. Don't you prove them before you buy them? And why can't you prove them in an hour? I pray thee have me excuse. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. You don't think wives like feasts? And parties? And so they all make excuses, and they all could come if they wanted to. This feast is salvation, by the way. So he says, hey, the master said, I want somebody. I already cooked the food. I want somebody to come and get the feast. Go out and find somebody in the streets. Find anybody who will say yes, because we already got the food cooked. And I want to say, Jesus already died on the cross. Go get anybody who will say yes. Take anybody who will say, do it. The price has already been paid. Let's go ahead and get them. So he said, he got very angry, the master did, in verse 21. And he said, go to the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And he says, go now into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. God wants his house filled. He wants heaven filled. He wants his church house filled with anybody who will come. Go out and find anybody who's willing. He says that my house may be filled. God says, I want my house full. Why the emphasis? Why is Jesus just emphasizing over and over and over, I want anybody. I want the lost. I rejoice over the sinner. Well, Luke, turn to Luke 19, just a little farther forward. He tells us why. A man who was a tax collector and a bad guy before repented. In verse 6, Luke 19, and he made haste. Zacchaeus was in a tree and came down to receive him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. Zacchaeus is known to be a sinful guy. And there's Jesus again. He can eat with him. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man of false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said, this day is salvation come to thy house. For as much also as he's the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. There he goes again. I'm looking for the lost. I'm looking for the lost. I'm looking for the lost. And he continues that. Jesus is all about the lost. And he starts off with the parable of a sheep. And we'll read some other passages on the sheep in the Bible. It's a very important subject. Why sheep? Why did he talk about sheep? First of all, because sheep are in danger. Sheep have no defenses. Sheep do not have horns. Sheep do not have, they don't claw things. They don't bite. They don't have a skunk smell. They don't aren't a porcupine. Pretty much they're defenseless animals. That's why they need shepherds. Number two, because they cannot find the way back in their own. Sheep are dumb animals. Sheep don't know what they're doing. Sheep will follow, if one sheep walks off a cliff, the rest of them will follow the next one off a cliff and not wonder why he disappeared. They're just not smart animals. They are known for being very dumb. And sheep, if they get lost, they're not like a dog. Dogs find their way home. Other animals find their way home. Sheep, they don't know what they're doing. They'll just go look for the next piece of food. And they need guidance. They don't find their way home on their own. And the Bible likens human beings to sheep. And so God illustrates us in that way. Got a few points here for you out of the Bible. First of all, we're supposed to search for lost sheep. Search for lost sheep. Boy, it's a lot of different ways he says that. First of all, he says, go in, and I'm going to leave the 99 in the wilderness and search for the one. One soul is important and one sheep is important. And he says he's going to leave the 99 in the wilderness. It's so important that I find the one lost sheep. He says we are supposed to search for them. Search diligently. She swept her whole house until she found the lost coin. It is a go in and emphasize, you go and search for them. That's very important. Because New Testament Christianity, I want to say this, very important, you'll understand, because it makes our church distinctive from every other church in the area. The New Testament pattern was lost. The New Testament pattern was the disciples and the Christians scattered and preached the gospel all throughout the region. Then they brought their converts back to church to be fed. The church pattern of today is you bring everybody to church and preach the gospel to them and they get saved at church, if they're a church that sees people saved. And you know what? That is not the Bible pattern. That's why there's such immature Christians in most churches, because people aren't getting fed the word of God. They're preaching salvation messages all the time, trying to get the lost saved at church. That's not what the church is for. The church is for the perfecting of the saints, Ephesians 4 says. We're supposed to go and find the lost. And that's a big difference. You're supposed to take the gospel with you everywhere. You're an ambassador for Christ. You're supposed to be a witness in your neighborhood, in your house, to your neighbors, at the people at work, and going out door to door and house to house. We are an aggressive New Testament soul-winning church. We're preaching the gospel everywhere. Why? Because the Bible says, search for them. Then he says, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. I mean, you're going down the road and saying, hey, you want a big feast? You want to come to a big feast? The hedges. We sent a family one time to another church. They were living in they were homeless living in the hedges. I said, I followed the Bible there. I got you a family coming to church. Somebody in our church lived there near them and near the church. And those people came to that church, got saved and baptized and stuff. Go into the hedges and find people homeless and compel them to come in. You go and you search everywhere. You search for the lost coin. You don't sit there and say, I sure hope a coin comes to me and tell me it's lost. Boy, if Dolly just comes to me, everything will be good and tells me that it needs to be saved. That's not what Dolly does. I, my whole life, wondered if I was going to heaven. I, my whole life, wanted to go to heaven. If somebody would witness to me when I was 5 years old or 6 years old or 10 years old or 15 years old, I would have gotten saved whenever somebody witnessed to me. I wondered if I was going to heaven. I wanted to know who God was. Nobody knew that because I was an out-of-control kid. However, the first person who came to me and witnessed to me, because I never thought to ask them how to be saved, first person who came to me and witnessed to me, I got saved. And here I am today. Because somebody sought me at a park at midnight. That's where I was witness to. In a park at midnight. You seek the lost. Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus came to seek them. Zacchaeus was found in a tree because he was a short guy and couldn't see Jesus in the crowd. And Jesus found his comfort up in a tree. Boy, some of my early soul winning, when I was a new Christian, I would go up and I used to go up to a park near my house and I used to sit on these rocks up there, these big boulders, and I would pray up there. And this park, there was just a lot of hoodlums around our neighborhood, and they knew me as a hoodlum, and so they'd come to me at the park, and I'm a night owl. I'd be up there 11, 12, 1 in the morning, and they'd come up to me to talk to me about something else, and boy, did they ever get the shock of their life at 1 in the morning. What are you doing, man? I'm praying. Well, you just see them start to turn. Hey, I'm serving God now. Do you know if he died today, you go to heaven? And boy, half of them were high on this or drunk on this, and half of them were possessed, and half of them were all. I mean, it was everything under the sun. But you know what? You seek him. You find him. You look for him. The Holy Spirit tells you to go talk to that person. You even talk to a stranger, and you don't like talking to strangers. And sometimes the strangers are strange. But you keep talking to him. You find the lost. You find the needy. And you go find them. And you go to wherever they are. And in this case, he said, because the rich wouldn't take it, because the people who had everything and the people who had big houses wouldn't take it. He says, go find the poor and the blind and the lame. And find them and invite them in. Let them feast. We'll take them. I want my house full. I'll take anybody. And you know what? A church should let anybody come who won't cause problems. Sinners, messed up people, people who don't smell very good, drug addicts, prostitutes, run pack highway. There's a sign right there about an anti-prostitution area now. You find all kinds of strange people. You find, and you know what? You love them. And you find the needy. And you know, I'm glad when people go to jail, and I'm glad when people are in trouble. You know what church they call? You know what pastor they call? God will call this week. Go visit my brother. He's in jail. He's in big trouble. And you know what? We're glad to go help the messed up people because we want to make heaven happy. And I know sometimes when you're a church that tries and goes out there, you don't get the sharpest people and the most normal people and the most people. We have people with issues. And sometimes you get people with problems, and you get people with bad backgrounds. You get people who've messed up, people who've messed up their life, and you get all kind. And there's a lot of work involved. It is a lot of maintenance. It is a lot of untying of big knots that they made a mess of their life. It is complicated, but it makes God happy. Boy, we've had the strangest people come to our church. Had. We don't have any anymore. I remember. Have been an experienced soul winner. I've talked to more crazy people, more people with issues. I remember one time one of our guys was first witnessing. He just started. I noticed that he was just stuck talking to a person for a long time. I'm looking. I said, this doesn't look good. They're talking to somebody crazy. So I wander over there, and the person witnessing them is just looking like, what in the world's going on? And I said, what's up? And he says, well, I'll let him tell you. And the guy starts telling me his whole story that he had. Basically, I interpreted his story. His story was he was a drug addict. He overdosed. He fell down and broke his jaw, when he was overdosing. He woke up in the hospital and they repaired his jaw. His story with his mind was, I was doing some drugs I probably shouldn't have been. I woke up in the hospital and they did surgery on me for no reason, and they installed a camera inside my mouth. And he says, they're watching everything I do. Tacoma police are watching everything I do. I got a camera in my mouth. And he says that they're watching everything we do. They can see you right now. He said, what should I do? I said, well, first of all, if you close your mouth, they can't see anything. First thing I told him. And he says, that's a good idea. I never thought of that. I said, that's a good idea. You know, the Bible says comfort the feeble-minded. By the way, I found if you just relax and just act like you're one of them, they love you. They feel right at home with you. And so I'm right at home with them. He says, well, what else can I do? I said, well, how long have you had the camera in your mouth? He says, 2 years. I said, you're fine. I said, mouth camera batteries only last a year and a half. I said, the technology, they still haven't got it down yet. I said, that thing's been dead for 6 months. I said, they have not got the mouth camera batteries down yet. He says, really? He gave me a hug. Thank you so much. I feel so much better now. I comforted the guy. Everybody else has ran away from the guy. He's in his room right in the front row. No, I'm right. Which one is it? No, he's not here today. But you know what? There are people out there who are hurting. There are people that are pretty messed up. Their hearts are broken. Some of them, I'm not talking about insane people. I'm talking about people who have been abused, molested, hurt, abandoned. And they lash out at people because that's the only thing they've felt in life and know how to protect themselves. And if a church isn't going to go out and love those people who has the gospel of Jesus Christ and doesn't say, we want you, who's going to? And I know as much as everybody how much work they are. I visit them in jail. I try to fix their families. I go and try to undo the mess they've done. I try to get their spouse to forgive them. I try to keep their kids from following their footsteps. I go and pour out their drugs and alcohol, and I do all of it. It's hard work. It's a lot of work. But somebody needs to love the halt, the lame, the blind, the needy, the sick. And somebody needs to go into, you know, homeless people aren't going to smell good. And you might sit by one in church. You're going to smell something bad, and you have to tough it out. Because we're not going to say you can't come in because you don't smell good. I've seen churches do it. Because Jesus says, go seek him. Seek anybody. And by the way, seek the rich people. And we'll knock on rich doors, and we'll knock on poor doors, and we'll go on homeless people, and we'll go everywhere because we want to please Jesus. And we need to be more of a church of that goes and searches for lost sheep. In the wilderness, you sweep the house, you go to the highways and hedges, and you go and begin to find them. I want to say this, you got to search for the sheep. But you got to quit being a sheep if you want to search. Because when do you quit becoming a sheep where somebody searches for you and has to bring you to church? My goal in bringing somebody to church is not so I can say, okay, now we got a messed up person. My goal is to get them right and capable and spiritual and godly so they can go find some sheep. And by the way, with their testimony now, they can go find sheep. And they can tell that God can use you. You're no longer a sheep, though, when no one needs to find you and no one needs to lead you back. You're not a sheep when you come on your own, when you read your Bible on your own, when you pray, when you go and start seeking sheep. You're a shepherd now. And I want to say this. It's time some people in Open Door, some of you, move from being a sheep to a shepherd. If we have to try to get you to come and inspire it, and I'll do that, and we're glad to do that, and if I have to give you a call or visit you or drag you by the ear or whatever I have to do to get you to come to church, we'll do that stuff. That's a good idea. I'll write that down. And if we have to do that stuff to get you to come to church, that's great. We're glad to do that, but we want you to grow up. I don't mind changing my baby's diapers, but 15, 16 years old. Okay? I don't mind the babies, but it's time to grow up. And How about you? How about you start going and seeking lost sheep? How about you go take you a track and go invite somebody? How about you? You know what? You don't even know. You know, it's right here. You can read it to them. The whole plan of salvation, how to be saved. How about you invite your friends to church? How about instead of saying, would you please quit hanging on the wrong crowd? They keep dragging you to sin. How about it's time you start going in the offense and start dragging the bad crowd to church? How about being a shepherd, not a sheep? Nothing wrong with being a sheep for a while. But sheep in the spiritual life need to grow up and go and begin to make an impact and do these things. Number two, we said number one, search for lost sheep. Number two, search for needy sheep. Search for needy sheep. Look back here in Luke 14, and we see these verses in verse 13. go to verse 13. Again, right where we've been all over these chapters. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed the resurrection of the just. Saying now, when you invite people, invite those needy people. Of course, the parable is after that. And verse 21, at the end of the verse, go quickly to the streets of the lanes of the city and bring hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And so he says, go find the needy people. And so, first of all, it's lost sheep, and that's anybody. It's anybody who doesn't have Jesus as their Savior. Rich, poor, doesn't matter to me. I don't care. You say, do you want poor people? Doesn't matter. Do you want messed up people? Doesn't matter. We want humans. We want them 98.6 and they're good. If they're alive, we want them. I don't care. I like rich people. I like poor people. I like medium, middle class people. I like everybody. I don't. And by the way, we don't treat them any differently. Bible says in James, don't you go to the rich person and give them a nice seat and go to the poor person and say, you get a bad seat. Everybody gets treated the same because they're all sheep who need a shepherd. And so you treat everybody the same. And by the way, I want to say this. That is not what's happening in churches. You come in a Mercedes, you're going to get a greeting and a visit. How do you know that? Because I get advertisements for church growth and lessons and sessions and magazines that tell me all about church growth movements. And the church growth movement is looking for giving units. And looking for sharp people, and they have a stereotype they want you to look for. Rick Warren made up Saddleback Sam. That's his guy he's looking for. He's a professional, a certain age, certain look, certain appearance. They got a picture of him of what the person they wanted to look like, certain income bracket, and that's what they look for. And he says that's who we're targeting, Saddleback Sam. I'm not making that up. It's in his book, Purpose Driven Church. Okay. He tells you, you target a certain person, and it should be people who can build your church, which is middle class and upper class people. That's all the church growth is. They target incomes. That's so unbiblical. And if somebody comes in there and they're homeless, everybody should walk up and shake their hand and say, we're glad you're here. And the lady who comes in and doesn't know how to dress yet, that's the way she's dressed her whole life, we're going to welcome her and be glad she's here. We'll try to fix them all. We'll try to get them to take a bath. We'll try to get them to change your clothes and try to get them to change your language. Sometimes they don't know how to talk at church. Okay? We'll try to fix all that. But if Bill Gates walks in tomorrow, he's not going to get any better treatment, I hope. At least from me. I hope from all of us. I don't care if he can buy me a church building. God can buy me a church building. I'm not worried about a church building. I'm worried about people. Souls. So we're looking for anybody who, and by the way, I wouldn't treat Bill Gates bad. I'd treat him good, just like I would any human, because everybody's important. We treat everybody good. If somebody comes and causes problems, that's one thing. We have to deal with that, and we've learned to deal with that. But we're seeking for needy sheep, people who have needs, anybody that needs help, backslidden Christians that aren't going to church, people who are messed up in their life are a special target. Because it says, find those people who have needs. Bible says God's going to bless those who take care of the widow and the orphan. Can I tell you, orphans are not well-behaved. I tell you, we get this kind. And orphans, and by the way, can I tell you, a lot of the kids, though they have a parent at home right now in our society, are orphans. Their parents aren't taking care of them. They're sitting in front of the TV and going upstairs and smoking weed. They're orphans. They're running around wild all night. And we bring them to church. I had one of the kids in church this morning. I had my cup of water in my hand. And he walked up and acted like he spit in my cup of water. So I spit in your water. He didn't spit my water. But he'd act like it. One of our kids this morning. Not my kids. Kids at church. Does he know how to act? He doesn't know how to act. You should see his home. I see his home. You know, if you're going to get grumpy about some kid running down the aisle, or you're going to get grumpy about some little girl who doesn't know and she doesn't know how to talk, you're going to get grumpy at a church like ours, because we're going to seek the needy people. And we're going to, and if they rebel and don't want to obey, we'll train them. We teach them. But if they rebel, we won't bring them anymore. But you find the people who have needs, people whose hearts are hurting, people who want help, people who do that. D.L. Moody got saved in Boston. Something good came out of Boston. But he got saved in Boston. And he started going to an upper crust church. And he immediately had a burden for little, needy, ragamuffin kids. And he started bringing them to church, and the church members hated him. And he said, I want to join the church. And they said, you know what? You need to rethink this thing about joining our church and who you're bringing. Pray about it and ask God and come back to us in a month. And he prayed about it and came back in a month. And he said, they told me he couldn't bring the kids anymore. And he came back and they said, you pray about it. And he said, I didn't. And they said, what'd God say? He said, you know what? He said, Dwight, there's no problem you're not being able to go into that church. God said, I've been trying to get in there for 25 years. And so D.L. Moody moved to Chicago and started a ragamuffin ministry of street urchin kids, and had a world impact. Ended up changing two continents. D.L. Moody did. Just a great man of God. And his whole ministry, you follow his ministry? The Moody Church, still there. Moody Church, still there. Moody Church was started just reaching needy people. And that's what the whole church was founded for and did for decades and decades and decades. You seek the needy sheep. Number three, lazy shepherds are in trouble. Let me take you to Ezekiel. I'm going to go back to the Old Testament. This is a rough chapter in Ezekiel. Lazy shepherds are in trouble. Ezekiel 34 is where I'm going to read out of. We had a dog. Our dog died, and we're looking for another dog right now. And we have a lady. We found a lady online who was trying to rehome her Great Dane. And I laugh about how people spend so much time and effort on animals, and yet how they won't treat people right. And here's this lady. This is a lady on Craigslist right now. She wants to rehome her dog. Things you should know before you take my dog. And I'm just reading parts of it. Costs around $75 a month to feed. Needs both dry and wet food mixed at least twice daily. Will eat dry food if mixed with chicken broth. Dry food with chicken broth, however, is not enough calories and will drop weight quickly. I feed her Costco brand, ranked 10th in the country. Same maker as Diamond Food. If you feed low-quality food to Danes, die around 6 years. Need to be kept indoors in our cold climate or will burn body fat too quickly. She was kept in a room with a full size in a room the size of a small living room when the family was gone, but has an add-on with no heat and has to add a lot more calories because she was dropping weight. She is kept indoors now when we are gone, but with all the bedroom doors shut and a clean house, otherwise she will find something to chew on. I would prefer a family who has someone home all the time. Besides cold weather, they are family animals and do not like being alone, and it causes great depression. By the way, do you know the fastest growing antidepressant area right now is dogs? That's the number one. That's the fastest growing antidepressant right now. So giving antidepressants are dogs. That's the world we live in. And animals are do not like. I mean, if you have a hound, you automatically assume it's depressed, right? And it causes great depression. She needs to be inside in the family when you are home. They are not outside living animals. I let her stay outside during the summer with food, water, and shelter only when I'm gone. She has her own room and sleeps on a queen-size bed so she can stretch out. You need to make a custom bed at least with enough support or a couch or a normal bed to avoid this problem. She lays in a futon in our room while we're gone, never on the floor. Always leave her with bones or big stuffed animals. She only likes bones with big marrow inside and meat on the outside. If there are shoulders or etc., she eats the meat outside and that is it. And she continues on about all the care if you take your dog from her. Isn't it amazing the time and effort and the care? And by the way, how did that breed of dogs last for the last 1,000 years? But how the care people take for animals and the love. And boy, their dog gets their leg broke. Little Fifi is going to be pampered and they can cry and taken care of. And fine, take care of your dog. I'm not against that. But you know, maybe some of those people have that much compassion on a wounded human soul and have that kind of thing. The lazy shepherds are going to be in trouble. Ezekiel 34. Verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherd of Israel, prophesy and saying to them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Eat ye the fat, and clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which is broken. Neither have ye brought again that which is driven away. Neither have ye sought that which is lost. But with force and cruelty have ye ruled him. Verse 6, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth. And none did search or seek after them. And God's upset because nobody sought after them. Verse 8, as I live, saith the Lord, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, and because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I require my flock at their hand, and will cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. Verse 20, therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Fat cattle who have eaten everything and not are taken care of, the lean cattle. What's a fat cattle? Someone who takes in and takes in and takes in and devours and doesn't give out and doesn't share. And you've been fed the word of God, you've been fed truth, and God stabilized your life. Don't become a fat Christian who just sits there and takes in and doesn't do anything. And just enjoys it and doesn't take it anywhere else. Verse 21. Because ye have thrust this side and with shoulder and pushed all the disease with your horns till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock. I want to say this. God says, I want my sheep right. I want my sheep to be fed. I want them taken care of. I want you to do what you should do. So what did we learn today? We learned mouth batteries last a year and a half. Besides that, we learned God really has an emphasis on seeking the lost. And that people are sheep. And they don't find their way to God on their own. And they don't fix their lives on their own. And by the way, if you think that all these government programs are going to fix lives, you, one, don't know history. Number two, you're not very logical. They can't save a soul. They can't make a kid whose parents are drug addicts not want drugs. They can give somebody food for a day, but they can't change their character that's destroying them. We have got to go and find out that the sheep out there, listen, you can sit there and whine about the problems of society and say, oh, the poor minorities and the poor people this and the poor people are so oppressed. No, don't sit there and whine about the problems of society. Get out there and do something about it. Go out there and lift some people up. Take them and feed them with what you know. Teach them what they need to learn. See their life changed. See their soul saved. Bring them Jesus Christ. The biggest thing that will fix their entire life is a Savior. I want to say this. We are sheep, and we need to be shepherded. You need to be in a good church. And boy, the people who said, no, I'm going to get my life together. I'm getting education. I'm fixing myself. And 3 years later, they're back in their disaster. You're supposed to be in church. God designed it where we help each other. You need to be in a good Bible preaching church, or you're going to keep on being a devoured sheep. Sheep don't find their way back, so we're supposed to go seek them. We're supposed to quit being sheep and become shepherds. And we can change the heart of God and change the joy of heaven. We can make God rejoice. And I want to say this. In Ezekiel 34, God is very mad at the shepherds who don't feed the sheep, and he's talking about his people there very specifically. He says, "I'm very mad at you. You're gonna be hungry. You're gonna be messed up. I'm gonna punish you because you have not taken care of my sheep." Don't you think the God of heaven who sits there and says, "I rejoice over one sin that repents," don't you think that someone who says, "You know, Lord, I'm gonna go out and help some sheep," you don't think that person's gonna get favor with God? You don't think that person is going to be blessed by God? And if that sheep is a millionaire whose marriage is broken and life is broken and is a drug addict, and a bunch of them are, by the way, they look really good on the outside. They're functioning addicts. But a lot of them have needs. And you go to that person and bring him to Christ. Or you go to that kid down the street who just wanders all day and night and says, "Hey, you know what? We have a great Sunday school. Why don't you come with me to church and bring him to church?" Don't you think God's going to say, "Thank you for rescuing my sheep and seeking my sheep and bringing them to my house so they can feast on the word?" It's time to become a shepherd and start pleasing the chief shepherd by saving the sheep. And today, Jesus says, we rejoice when you do this. We rejoice when you do this. We rejoice when you do this. Find some lost people and bring them to Christ. Grab you some tracks on the table. We're running out right now. Grab you some tracks. Got the map, got the plan of salvation inside. Give somebody one. Bring someone to church. Go witness to somebody. Go take the Bible and show them what you learned this week. Don't just be a fat sheep. Feed somebody. And say, "And by the way, I don't even know where to start." Say, "God, I would like to help a sheep if you'd let me." God will say, "I've got some sheep for you." He'll lead them to you. He'll lead you to them. He will put a heart in your soul. He will put someone in your mind. He will lead you to someone who has needs, and you will find some sheep. He's desperate to save the sheep. He just needs some shepherds. But we need to stop being sheep and start to be shepherds. Busy shepherds are loved in heaven. And they're making heaven rejoice. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, today as we talk about a serious subject and looked at just how many times Jesus talked about the sinners that he was hanging around and how that it brings rejoicing to heaven. Lord, I think that a church needs to be out there in the wilderness looking. I think this church needs to do a better job at it, Father. I think we as individuals, whether we go out with our organized soul winning time or whether we this week ask you to use us and look for the lost sheep, I pray today that we become shepherds and go out and find the lost sheep and make heaven happy. I pray that you speak to our hearts. Whether today we're a lost sheep that needs to be in church all the time and quit wandering off by ourselves and be in church every Sunday, whether we're someone who is a sheep who knows some things and has got some knowledge and needs to become a shepherd, whether we already know how to be a shepherd and we just quit doing it, Lord, I pray we'd be able to start making you happy and realize the joy of a church and the joy of your people is making heaven happy with seeing sheep saved. Please help us to do so, Lord, and help us to follow your word and be out there helping the needy. Thank you for showing us these. And Lord, just in one passage, I was just shocked how much Luke 14 and 15 talked about it. Your word's full of your heart for the needy. Help us to have that. In a needy society who's crumbling right now, Father, help us to be out there rescuing sheep. In Jesus' name. Our heads about, our eyes are closed.